Hello and welcome into the Soda Data Show. I'm Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdino on Soda. Joined today by PSU fans too, whose beard is long enough that it's actually under the screen now, Sean.
Yep, getting a haircut today, Laird.
There we go. We'll have 21-year-old Sean Newsham on the show soon.
Yep, we'll be on in 3 or 4 hours. No, right, less.
There we go. Thanks everyone for coming in. Looks like Victor, I'm lucky every day. If by lucky you mean hitting unexpected DNPs, welcome to the group. Sora Balotelli. And Daniel Cooper on the podium said, podium, this can't be my SO5 lineups then. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Tuggy says, we all know Sean cares the most about Classic Contender. What's the point of this stream? The point is whether he wants to be in Division 3 of Classic Contender or Division 2. Anyway, Looking for Food says, looking at the new format, I'm convinced the reward places have been reduced. Please tell me I'm wrong. I haven't counted, but we'll see. Kev Heard, what's up? Chris Holt, will the divisions make it easier or harder to win? We'll get into that. Stefan, hello. Carrie, is that who that was? Oh, Carol, excuse me. Sean and I were talking about this before, about the Poland game not displaying on Sora Data, but so rare. I'm guessing it's a squad list thing, that not all the players, like the squad list might not be updated from Opta in one or both places. So I don't know. We'll see. Sean said he had somebody.
I did. Yeah. I have Frankowski. I saw that he's in there.
There you go.
So likely that your player maybe just isn't in the squad. I don't know what player it is, but there's that possibility.
Yep. Alex, what's up? Sora Malta, hello. Quinny, what's up? Happy birthday, belated birthday to Quinny. Turned, I don't know, 28 yesterday or something.
No, he turned 36, Laird. He posted it.
36?
Yeah. Wow. You don't know anything about that as someone well into their 40s.
But I don't remember 36 at all. But
yeah. Happy birthday to Quinny. I saw that yesterday.
All right. Parapress, what's up? Ian, Kustia, shitty Sora weekend left behind us. Not for everybody. Not for everyone. XMK, new Sora changes have really gotten to Sean. No, it's just, Sean just goes. Liam, Nanzo, what's up? Ricomon.
Nanzo like dodges my DMs now. I gave him shit for dodging me last week and going on a show where I wasn't on. Because I was like, so I DM'd him and just totally dodges my DMs. You know, he's just too big deal.
He's too big now. Yeah.
Now he's a star. Now he's a Sora Data show star. Like, he's too big of a deal to respond to me. So.
Yeah. Have you tried his manager or maybe his publicist? Maybe they'll be able to.
Yeah. I mean, I have to reach out and figure out what it is. But like, I mean, he's so close to the vest. I don't know if I'm going to be able to like get a hold of him. Like, he might not like release those people.
Yeah. He doesn't even want to hear it from you. Ricomon makes the point that I was going to point out to everybody. Also, the new competitions are in the lineup builder for game week 463 and beyond. We are still waiting on some data from SoRare about the competitions. Sean, specifically one that seems like a gigantic piece of information that we do not have. Would you guess that the captain bonus is 20% or 50% in the new competition?
I mean, I hope you got 20. 50 is so stupid.
I agree, but we don't know yet. If they do 50, I am going to get the pitchfork out.
50 sucks. I mean, 50 just sucks because it just puts so much emphasis on
so much. So much.
Not saying like that's like bad per se, but I hate it. It's just like
I will say it's bad.
Yeah. I'm not gonna argue with you that it's bad or good, but like, yeah, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Philly Dilly, let's see. We got a few more people in here. The So Rare Scout. Malky, I don't know if I got you Honiton before, but there you go. Stefan, just Mike it on time today. Harry Trades in the house. What's up? Surface, Mike. Look at this. Balotelli thinks you look like Tom Hanks from...
I'm assuming it's supposed to be Castaway. I've definitely gone
Castaway. There you go. I was like, I knew it's not Kept Away, but Castaway. There you go. Sean Thorpe, let's have it. Where do I complain about 300-400 plus scores and only a tier 2 and tier 4 limited to show for it? Game is gone.
Definitely Twitter. Definitely Twitter.
Rigamon, yes, we are working on the in-season toggle. Don't you worry. Charlie, yes, it's just you that likes the 50% bonus. But it's possible it's you and SoRare, and then we're in a world of trouble.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that likes it other than you.
Yeah. Anyway, Sean, this came up during Friday's stream, not to be confused with two Fridays ago when Nanzo was on. But there was a conversation about Surface is wondering if you're wearing a new jersey. A crew jersey.
Yeah, I have my Aiden Morris jersey on from the final. Nanzo just said, me and him show without you, Laird.
So yeah, you guys are more than welcome to go find a place to do a show together.
Yeah, right here on Sober Data Strategy. Well, no, not Sober Data Strategy Show, but luckily, Larry, it's the Sober Data Shows now. So like, we can just plop on it. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, just take the keys from wherever you think they are and go nuts. Anyway, Sebastian said 50% bonus is so good for smaller galleries. At least one competition with it would be really nice. Do you think that benefits smaller galleries? I suppose it.
I'm not going to say it does or does not, because like if you have like one lineup and you can like captain the best player, then that's helpful for you in that one individual lineup.
Right.
So yes, I mean, I'm not going to say it helps or doesn't help. I think it's kind of neutral. If you don't have elite level players, it hurts you. Let's put it that way.
Because you're just captaining the non. Sorry, I'm trying to look for
the captain is that much more important. Like, gotcha. You need a guy that's going to rip 100 or like massive scores. Like, Yeah, you just can't plop in a guy that puts like 65 and get him as a captain. It's like you're kind of screwed.
So we were talking about the different divisions, basically that we know all of this information about the upcoming games, and then we don't know really whether we're going to want to compete in the higher divisions. We think you do, and so we're kind of made it sound like you definitely do, but there are people who continue to talk about like tanking some of their lineups in order to get into lower divisions. And during the show on Friday, you were in the chat and you were like, at first you were like, I think it might be good to have some lower ones. And then you looked at the prize pools and you were like, no, I want three in Division One, period. What was there like a specific thing that made you like, is there a specific thing you saw that you were like, oh, that's like, we know Division One is the best, but what was it that put you over the edge where you were like, no, I definitely want three in Division One?
Yeah, first off, I want to make sure, Nanza, are you here the whole show? Because I have a question that will definitely, I want to ask you later. But so if you're not going to be here for the whole show, let me know so I can ask it earlier. So I looked and I just like, and to be fair, this is how it should be, right? Like you should aspire to want all of your lineups in Division One. That should be how it is. So right, I looked at it and I was like, because there's some merit in a situation where they gave out so much to first place. And then you're like, all right, I probably want to be in like Division One, Division Two, Division Three to like absorb all of the first places. But looking at things like in the in-season stuff, a lot of the money is being given to Division One, like a majority, which again should be. And I just don't think you can realistically like go into Division Two and win the amount you would likely win in Division One if you were in Division Two. Like in theory, Division 2 is going to be more difficult to win than Division 1. And for the people that are like, the lineups are going to be worse in Division 2 as a whole, look at it now and like sort of view it like All-Star Rare Pro versus All-Star Rare. Whereas sometimes the lineups and the scores you need in Division 4, the Rare Division, are higher than what you need to win like the Rare Pro Division. And the reason for that is like, yes, there may be worst lineups overall, but if you give me 100 worst lineups versus 20 better lineups, it's a lot more likely that the worst lineups will score better at the top as a whole, because there's a lot more opportunities for them to score better at the top instead of just like a smaller amount. So like if we assume there's going to be 200 people in Division One, 800 people in Division Two, which I don't know the exact numbers that they're going to be doing. Okay, good, Nanzo's going to be here. So if, as they're doing like Divisions One and Two, if you have 200, 300 people in Division 1, 600, 800 people in Division 2, it's going to be a lot harder to win Division 2. And then also, I think there's a big misconception, and I think this is like, Sober doesn't understand this, so I think this is why there's the misconception, but I think they think the same as like other people. They think I'm not going to be in Division 2, right? Like the rule that people are thinking is like, okay, Nanzo is going to be all in Division One, PSU all Division One, Surface all Division One. Those guys are not going to be in Division Two. There's so many freaking DNPs. It's going to be impossible to stay fully in Division One. And that's what I don't think people understand. Like I'm going to have a lineup where I run out like five just studs, like the best five players you can have. And one of them is going to randomly not play. And then all of a sudden I'm going to be down in Division Two the next game week. And I'm going to run all five studs again in that lineup. And I'm probably going to have, and then I'll go back up. So like, Is it going to be realistic to keep every lineup in Division One? No, I don't think so. But it's also not realistic that people are going to be, if they are a high level gallery and have elite level cards, they're always going to be in Division One. It's just not going to be the case.
So Vita and Philly Dilly here said, so Vita was said, I expect about 150 in Division One, 300 to 400 in Division Two and Rare. And Philly Dilly said, if you have 1,000 people in Rare, it's just basically what he said, 150 in one Division One, 350 in two, 350 in four, excuse me, three, and 150 in Division Four.
Sure.
So obviously we know that the middle ones will be the biggest in terms of the number of people who are participating. And I think Vita said 50% of Division One gets relegated every week. So staying in Division One for 10 game weeks like, is an achievement on its own. Frankly, maybe it will be an achievement.
Like most likely, right? If you are 50% is getting relegated. If 50% is getting relegated, like a DNP is probably going to relegate you. Most likely. So like I would think most of the time I think in D2, what's the relegation numbers in D2?
It's 20% get promoted and
50 relegated, or is it not 50?
I don't think it's 50.
If it's not 50, you might be able to eat a DNP. The issue is that 50% of DNP is going to be difficult to overcome. 30%
on the bottom.
You probably could have a DNP and still avoid a relegation to some extent. But another
basically thing, if you're in the middle 50%, you stay.
Yeah. Which is fine. So I have a question for you, Laird. Do you think people are like overlooking and just thinking like, okay, PSU is never going to be in D2. It's just always going to be in D1. Because I've seen people be like, there's going to be no guilds in Division 2. They're going to all be in Division 1. That's just not how it's going to be, I don't think.
I think the movement between Division 1 and 2 will be much bigger than they expect. I also think people are putting way too much focus on the where everyone is going to be in the first game week. Like everyone's like, oh, are they going to do it by this? Are they going to do it by that? And it's like, if this is the way we play from now on, the introductory divisions, yes, like maybe you get screwed in the first week by being in a lower division than you think you should, but it'll basically get to where it'll normalize within a few game weeks. Like, I think it'll be fine. But yeah, I assume you will always have, maybe not always, but you will, for the most part, have Division One, Division Two, and maybe two in Division Two. But yes, you will definitely be in Division Two every game week somewhere.
Yeah, like I'm not going to just be in Division One at all times. Like I would assume I'm going to have I'm probably going to have a lineup in Division One most all of the time. And I'm probably going to have a lineup in Division Two like most all of the time. Once things are like settled out, right? At the beginning, obviously, things will be different. But like, long term, I would expect me to have lineups in Division One, lineups in Division Two, lineups fluctuate up and down. If something goes wrong, definitely a lineup in Division Three occasionally. And I'm just going to have the good plays. Like, I'm going to have good cards that are going to be in that lineup in Division Three because I just have good cards. So I think that people just overlook that thought and they just are like, oh, all 300 guilds are going to be in Division One because you're just going to be in Division One. It's just not the case.
Yeah. Yep. No, I agree. I think where was the comment that I just saw that was making me think of it? Maybe it was Vita. Where did that comment go? Anyway, it was basically like here it is. All right. So Vita says, as a player, the way the prize pool has been done made me care less about being in Division Two, but as a system, it makes me wonder if the incentive to climb to Division One is strong enough, which I think it is. And it's almost like the reason you want to be in Division Two is because that's the path to Division One.
Yeah.
And not because you just want to be in Division Two forever. And so having the best prize in Division One, like that's what we're going for. Obviously, there are more lineups in Division Two. Sean, basically the way I've been looking at it is Division One is Rare Plus. Like as we currently play, you're going to try to focus your best lineup there. And Division Two is Rare, where there are a lot more players, but the scores are basically around the same.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I mean, I will say I do agree to some extent with people that Division Two and Division Three gap is just not that different. But I do also agree with you that like the incentive is to get to Division One where the best rewards are. And you just look at it like if there's 150 people and you have to finish, let's say sixth out of 150, or let's say 10th out of 150 gets you $200. I got to come top five out of 350 in Division Two to get the same $200. Like, it's a lot more realistic for me to get 10th out of 150 than it is for me to get fifth out of 350. Like, it's just, right. It's just much different gap. And I think that it's going to be more difficult to sort of like generate the returns you want to do. And then, like, not to mention, like, Classic is the same. Like, the high level cards in Classic are going to be more prevalent in Division One, but also in theory, the loot boxes are going to be a lot more of a thing in Division One. Now, I will say there is some merit. Like, I think, like, getting the top 25th percentile in Division Two is going to be a lot more manageable than getting the top 25th percentile in Division One. But I also think the loot boxes, based on what we've seen, are going to be far better in Division One compared to Division Three.
So what we're looking here is the Classic Champion Rare prize pool. The podium prizes for Division One, I don't think people really appreciate how huge they are.
Yeah.
Like, you win more cash than second place in season. You win a star rare and three elite boxes, which obviously the odds are very, very low, but this is exactly why they do this. You could win three more star rares.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane, right? If you walk away with two star rares and $1,300, you are fucking pumped. Sorry for swearing there.
No, what I was going to say, though, is, like, you would rather win Division One in Classic than you would in season. Which, again, is, like, another misconception I see out there is, like, I gave Haber shit for this, and you're going to agree with me, I know it. But, like, I don't think the gap between Classic and in season is as bad as, or it's not as, like, big. It shouldn't be that big.
The gap for what, though?
Between Classic and an in-season card.
Like, the price gap?
Yeah. Like, people are just not buying old season cards, per se. Like, mm-hmm. We will use this as an example. I thought this was Haber's not here yet, so, like, that's good, because he'll be bitching at me later once he watches. I think he made probably the worst buy that I've seen from him in, like, 2 years this week.
So I know exactly what you're going to say, and I just don't think anyone has any concept of what the value should be. And I think why that the new season ones are so much more is because they're just not nearly as many of them. And you're competing in competitions with significantly fewer lineups in them.
Oh, no, I'm convinced that this was the worst buy I've seen from him in 2 years.
That's fine. I'm just saying, I think it's a common thing. Like, the gap between old season and new season cards, I think the one thing that we're kind of ignoring a little bit in terms of, like, whether that's a good price or not, is so many fewer lineups in season competitions.
No, correct.
And this point that Vita made, if Division Two, and this is for, like, in season, has 350 lineups in it, let's say, and 100 of them are, like, your second lineups, it might be easier to win. Like, how many new season, like, rare cards are you playing? Maybe you're the bad example, but I think it's, like, most people are not going to be able to have, like, three super competitive new season lineups.
I don't have one competitive new season rare lineup, not one, but, like, that's just because I'm not rushing into buying shit, because, like, what was the point? So anyways, people are trying to guess what the worst buy Haber's made in 2 years was, and, like, I saw this and I laughed at how stupid it was, and he defended himself. I will say I'm getting a lot better at just, like, Haber doing something and I just am like, all right, whatever. And, like, just
this is very much not a whatever what you're doing right now.
No, but, like, he's not here, so he can't defend himself. So it's a good time to do it, because it's one of those things where you just know it's bad, and, like, he doesn't think it's bad, and there's just no way you're gonna convince him it's not bad. So it's just like, all right, like, do you know what the buy is before we go into it?
I assume it's the Mickey, you mean?
Yeah, like, so first of all, I think the gap probably should be like 30% to 50% probably on like a rare between an old season and a new season. So the way that I look at the classic season cards is like probably, it's probably twice as hard. It's probably going to be like 2 to 3 times as hard to win something. But like, if you're going to be able to buy these cards at like freaking 5x off the price, it's ridiculous. So anyways, Haber paid, let me see what he said. He paid 0.096 ETH. I'm going to use dollars. I'll use dollars because obviously we've seen it. So Haber paid, let's see.
379.
I got it. He paid $375 for a Mickey Yamani rare card for the new season. His argument is that Mickey Yamani is going to be the best defender in the MLS or one of. I'm not even going to argue that because I actually have watched their games, obviously, and I've thought that it is. I have thought that he looks really good. Like, they look really good. He looks really good. I definitely could see him being a really good scorer. So I'm not going to argue that point. But when his rare card is selling for $62, and you
meaning his old season.
You pay $380 for the new season? That makes absolutely no sense. None to me whatsoever. There's not a 6x pricing gap right now. Like, there's in no way should be a 6x. It should be like 50%, 100% max. Like, not 6x. But anyways, so like another thing too is like FOMO hit. Like FOMO's hits. This is part of why I haven't bought the rare cards, because like I don't give a shit about the rare cards. Like, I don't need them till this weekend. This weekend is the first weekend I need a single rare card. Right? I did not need an in-season rare card before this upcoming weekend that's coming up. I didn't need to buy a card 2 weeks ago. I didn't even call it. Like, I don't need a new season of anyone 2 weeks ago. I need it next weekend. So anyways, the last auction of the Mickey Yamani rare in-season card went for $188. He's already lost more than the price of the card is immediately. Like, he has lost 60% on the card today. Now, like 50%. He's lost 50% in 1 week. He just didn't have to buy the card. He could have bought it next week. And I still think it's probably, I think his rare is probably low. I think his rare probably should have been higher, which to be fair, his old season rare. So like, here's the thing. Here's the part of it that makes it even more like how bad this was. His old season rare layer has gone from $62 to $75. His card's up 20% in the last week. His card's up 20%, and he's lost 50% on his investment. All right. It's so hard to make up 50% of a card value for, like, you just didn't even need it. You literally got zero added value out of it for 50% more for no reason. You basically got, like, 1 week of utility.
Why do we care?
Because it just doesn't, we don't care. I mean, I want people to spend as much for
you seem like you care quite a bit here.
No, I don't. I mean, I definitely told him it was dumb, and he's like, he's the best defender in the league. I'm like, I'm not arguing that at all. I'm not gonna argue that.
And he said, and we wonder why card prices are going down. Everyone's afraid of Sean's gonna blast them.
Honestly, that's like the only card that I blasted anyone on buying right now. No other cards are like 600% difference between old season and new season. Like, I have not seen a rare card that was like 6x the price for new season versus old. Have you seen any card like that other than this one?
I don't.
Yet.
Like, I don't care enough to look at other card. Like,
no, any card you've looked at. Like, if you've noticed any card that you've looked at between in season and old be that different?
I don't think, nothing has come to mind, no.
Yeah, like I haven't seen anything, like not even like in the ballpark. That's the thing. So yeah, Vitaly says Sean sounds like a disappointed father. That's accurate. Because like Haber, now we'll give Haber some credit. Haber has improved a shitload and has done very well, I would say, in the last 6 to 9 months. Makes a lot less mistakes, does a pretty damn good job with most everything, and hadn't really done anything that I was like, holy shit, that's dumb as shit. And then this one happened. I'm like, oh my God.
He's just doing his part, man, to keep values up. That's all. Nobody else.
Well, he didn't do a very good job.
He's trying to save this platform, and we're all just being like, no, let's make card prices lower.
He dropped 50%. Let me make sure he's not. Okay, he's not here, because I would have got a DM on Discord, and he would have been like,
I mean, I'll take this time to thank Haber for making sure that our card values are going slower.
I mean, no, you know the real pro move? You know the real pro move is? Andy Black's here. Andy Black had the real pro move. He kept pumping the price on Ricky Pooge, and then he just won a Ricky Pooge. He was the guy bidding up every single Ricky Pooge, could not get one, then he just won it. So he's like, oh, the price is already up. They're pretty good because I've literally bid it up for like 10 days straight.
That was one of the worst things that SoRare has ever done for themselves. That there is a guy who was willing to pay whatever, well, not whatever, because obviously he's losing, but like a high price for a card. Like they should have seen that he was going to win it and just switched it.
Yep. Just move it out. Like give him
to anyone else and then let him go buy. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, by the way. He obviously, congratulations, Andy, for not spending any more money.
Okay, so ABC1234 just said he sold a Shotani super rare to buy a Yamani rare. So here's another question I have. This
contenders to challengers, man. Let's go.
No, all right. So this one is another discussion that I'm not sure what the answer on this one is, but
before you go any further, is this like about Haber doing something dumb? Because I don't really feel like
having it's in the same it's about the Yamani card. I'm just curious, but it's a completely different thing. And I'm not sure if he's right or wrong on the situation. This, the Yamani, I'm sure he's wrong. This one, I'm not sure. So where would you choose to be if you had the choice? And let's just pretend you can run the same lineup in these competitions. Would you rather be in season rare or classic super rare? Let's just pretend you have the same lineup and the same.
I think I would rather be in, I think I would rather be in champions. Like in champions, I think I would rather be in rare than super rare. In challengers, I think I would prefer to be in super rare, and I'd rather be in rare in contenders. Okay. That one's a little closer, but I think that one's a toss up.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I think that I would prefer to be in classic super rare, but I'm not certain on that. And the reason
the gap to go to super rare is not like the fact that you only need three new in season ones makes it a little easier to like move up there, but I feel like you're much more likely to win something in classic super rare that is unsellable.
Yeah, but you're also more likely to win something that is like a legit high-end helpful card at a level where maybe you won't be able to afford them otherwise.
I don't believe you. how many like legitimate super rare challenger and contenders cards are there that you think are easily sellable?
I mean, in season cards, there's a lot. In contender, challenger, like there's just going to be a lot. Like, I'm just being honest, like you can sell a lot of them. I'm winning Asia, Champ Asia this week, D1. And I'm going to get a tier zero super rare, which has to be Korean because J League hasn't launched yet. I'm pretty confident I can sell all of them for something. What? I don't know. But I can sell all of them.
But that's sort of my point, that you're more likely to win a rare certainly in champions that is easily sellable for a good price.
Yeah, but like, I mean, champ is different. I'm more talking about
I think even
contender. Also, like I also think this, Laird, I think tier twos and tier threes are a lot more viable in like super rare, and they're going to be usable cards as in-season cards because it's just hard to have in-season cards. Whereas like in the rare level, like once you get below the T1s, it's like a lot less usable of a card.
Yeah, I mean, where do I find this here?
Yeah, Vitaly said in season day one or in season champion with like 8 game weeks left is much different. I agree with that. I more meant like challenger or contender with. I was discussing like an MLS situation, because I basically said the argument I had with Haber on the Yamani situation was like, he paid pretty close to what a Yamani super rare would have cost for an old one. Like, just go buy a Yamani super rare then and play it in Classic. He's like, I don't want to play Classic. And I'm like, okay.
Well, the Yamani super rare, like, it's easier to play a Yamani's old season super rare in new season, in season comps.
It's just easier to play super rares in general, I think, because like, you're going to have a lot more bloated rare situation than you will as a super rare.
I can't for the life of me. Did they announce the prize? Hold on. Like the super rare prize? Like, do we know exactly what you can win in like contenders super rare?
Oh, I mean, it's all there, Laird.
Yeah. Sorry. I was like, I only had 7 blogs open and it was on the 8th one.
Gotcha.
This is in season. Here we go.
Nanda just asked, in the new format, do we win unique cards in all unique divisions? I believe yes. All unique divisions. And I do think they're giving them out in loot boxes in super rare. Is that correct? But they might be lower level.
Yes. Tier 3.
Yeah.
Tier 3.
And I do think a tier 3 unique from an in-season perspective could have some value. Some.
So just like, this is super rare contenders. You have to finish top 2 in division 3 and top 5 in division 2 to get a tier 3.
Yeah, but I do think tier 3s are probably usable from an in-season.
Yeah, I mean, I have like a couple tier 3 recent wins that I will show you that they are not.
No, I mean, a lot of tier 3s will not be, but some tier 3s will also be. Like, if you can get like a older defender who maybe is just like not like, he's a decent scorer, but he's decently old. Like, yeah, you can probably use that card. Obviously not every single tier 3 is going to be a usable card, but I do think some will be usable. Like tier 4s, tier 5s. Like, I'm just praying to God I get a young goalie. Like, right. Give me a young goalie. I don't give a shit if they've never like dressed in a game.
Yeah. I think if you are not like rolling out elite contender super rares, I think it's going to be hard to get as much return than in rare in season.
Yeah. Surface asked, are we even sure Yamani is going to be great? No, but that was literally not part of the discussion at all. Cause like, I'm not going to say he's going to be great or bad. I will say I've watched and he has looked pretty decent. And if you remove the Miami game where he's playing against Lionel Messi, his AA has been like 25 a game, the last 3, 2 of which were away. Like, he's looked decently. Like, I think it's a realistic chance he's a pretty decent MLS card.
Yeah, I mean, you know who we're really sure about is going to be great is Kai Wagner, who's been terrible.
True.
So it's true. MLS. Who knows?
Well, yeah, it's MLS. I agree. So Jonathan just said 52 cards seems low. It's not as low because there's just not going to be that many people that are playing. And so basically what Jonathan's saying too is like, if you add it up, there's only 31. That means they're giving out 21 in loot boxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like,
this number is the one that you need to.
Yeah. So like, there's decent cards to be in the loot box. And like, the loot boxes, here's my issue with the loot boxes. How many tier 0s and tier 1s you see in the loot boxes, Laird?
0 here.
0.
Not even a tier 1.
Not even a tier 1. Not at the highest level. That's not great. And again, it goes to their super rare and unique rewards, and how they do them is just not the best.
I think what people need to recognize, though, in these competitions is that it's significantly fewer entries than rare and limited. So I think the rewards look low, but like, there are not that many people who compete.
No, I would assume Division 1 and super rare is going to be like 20 to 30 people, 30, something like that, 30 to 40, maybe 30 to 50, something like that.
It could be slightly higher.
Like 50?
Well, I'm sorry, for Division 1. Yeah. I think, yeah, somewhere around there.
Like 50.
It's low.
50, 150, something like that.
Right. So you finish in the top 10% for a reward.
Yeah. So like getting.
For a immediate card reward and then 25, for.
Blue Tomatoes asked, is Brooks Lennon any good or just a couple of lucky scores? Brooks Lennon's always been a decent player.
Yeah, he's been good.
he takes sets. So like anyone, anytime you have someone that has sets, like they can be pretty good. So you got a guy that comes down the wing, bombs in some crosses, takes some sets. Like he has upside. That said, like against good teams, he's typically going to struggle. And some games, like if he doesn't get a decisive, he could put up like a 15 because he just lost the ball shitload. Tobias said there should be tier ones and maybe even tier zeros in loot boxes, even if it's literally just for one for weekend. I agree. Part of the loot boxes, Laird, is the allure that you can win that high end.
Sure.
If you're giving zero tier zeros and tier ones, there's no allure. You're just not. Like if they gave out one tier zero a month, so like each loot box you had like a 0.1% chance of winning a tier zero, but you had the chance. At least it's there. And that for me is a mistake and an issue. Also, like loot boxes, they basically, and I know where they're at with this is because they don't know how to do it because that's how it works. But the unique division, they're just like, well, shit, we can't give out these cards. What the hell should we do? Let's just do nothing because we don't know what to do. That's literally what they're doing in unique right now. So here's a question. I don't know if you saw the tweet, but JobsDNT, or I think that's his Twitter, posted about Bradley Barcola, super rare versus unique. The super rare from a month ago went for the same as the unique did like yesterday. And here's my question for Nanzo, because I think he obviously is someone that is capable of answering. They did a really poor job of incentivizing unique holders. Like they've done a very poor job at the unique and super rare. I think both are poorly done, but like you're giving out so few cards and so few cash prizes in the in season. Like champion in season is like three prizes, and Pranksy runs out a City stack, a Real Madrid stack, and a Liverpool stack every weekend, just to name Pranksy. Like, what incentive do you really have to go into that division when it's like, all right, well, shit, I'm kind of screwed. And then, like, you auction off, like, a Bradley Barcola. Well, that card's just not going to do anything for you. So, like, why would anybody, except for, like, a Pranksy or a Bellama, buy that card? Because, like, everybody else just doesn't make sense for. So, like, I think they've just done a real... So, my question for Nanzo is, like, do you just feel like the unique level, it's like, especially champ level, like, why would anybody come into the champ level that isn't already like established there?
You're considering Pranksy established?
Yeah. I mean, the Pranksy gallery is like 700 ETH gallery. He's probably got like a top 10 gallery in the site.
The reason I say that is because like he hasn't really been around that long. But no, like Manzo was saying that on Friday, that if you want to come in and compete at that level, you just have to spend a boatload of money.
Correct.
You don't need that many people to do it. Like the expectation cannot be that they're going to have 1,000 people who want to play at that level.
Correct. But like they went from having like 300-400 people that would be interested in stuff to like 10.
It's 300 or 400 people who are interested, but they weren't actually playing.
No, they played. They buy a card. Like someone might've bought Barcola because he's U23. You can use him there. You can use him in champ. He has the upside. Like maybe you buy him as like a cheap, like sort of longer term play there.
Yeah, I think they're just looking to actually sell to the masses. And they have a unique level prize pool that they're fine with to have the 50 people compete for it.
Yeah, but like they're not having 50 people compete for it. Another misconception too is like if there are not whales and there are not a lot of higher level players that are interested in stuff, that's why prices get plummeted. That's why like price have plummeted to like where they are now. And I just don't think there's a good enough job with like this sort of reward pool to like incentivize higher level people. So like, yes, we might still like have a lot of people and like the lower levels will be fine. But like, if you're not having these higher priced cards and these higher priced people that are playing, it just drives all the prices down long-term because those are the people that like really drive the market at a level that people want to be playing at.
Is it at all possible that it actually has the opposite effect, that those people decide, actually, I'm not going to spend all of my money on uniques. Let me spend them all on super rares and super rare prices go up?
I don't think so, because I think a lot of those people are like, I just don't have interest in the platform because it's just too low of stakes for me. Like Bellama like is selling a lot of cards that are like Bellama like doesn't play like Rare Pro, for example, or something. Like AJ, I've talked to AJ. AJ literally does not play Rare Pro because it's below him. Which like people can have their opinions on that, but like I talked to AJ about it. Like one of the more enlightening conversations I had with AJ, and I still give AJ shit because like it's one of those things. But like AJ told me, he's like, I don't care as much about like putting in a shitload of work for the uniques or to like find a DNP because it was honestly below what he valued his time at. And it made it not fun if he was like searching Twitter to find DNP. So like he would just like randomly have a DNP in Asia unique that would cost him like 2 ETH. And he's like, I just don't care. So like, I think a lot of people will be like I'm not going to buy a limited probably in this new thing because I just don't care enough about limiteds because it's just kind of not interesting to me because the levels that we're playing at are so low that it's just not exciting to me. So I think what will happen is like those people will play the unique level and then they just like don't buy anything else. Well, if those people aren't buying rares or super rares or whatnot, then all of a sudden that takes away people that would buy those and it's just those are the people that would pump the prices upwards.
So, I mean, if we're saying there are 300 people who compete at the unique level, which I don't think there are.
I think there are. I think you probably underestimate how many people play at the unique level to some extent.
What does that mean?
People that use uniques to play competitively on Sower. But like the thing is like that used to be Division 2 too. Like you could buy like one unique or two uniques then use them in like a Division 2 as well. Or in a super rare
division.
And that just sort of is going out of the that's just going out the window because they got rid of it. Nanzo said they don't know how to make uniques attractive. The pool of people buying uniques has shrunk to a handful. Like the amount of people that have come to me, Laird, in the last 2 weeks and been like, hey, I want to dump all my uniques for super rares. Are you interested? Is like 10 to 12 people that have come to me and asked me that question. I've had zero people been like, I want to move my super rares into uniques. Are you interested? Like but nobody like, is going into the uniques. Everyone's like leaving uniques and moving downwards.
But that's exactly my point, that now we have more people looking to buy super rares.
But you don't in the long run. Like those people might have already been buying supers. Like Mike just said that he traded all of his away. Like he literally, Mike had good uniques and Mike just like, well, I'm out because it's pretty terrible. Like that's not good that you are having people just be like, well, I played it, but I'm just not going to be interested anymore. Like I tried to get out of my uniques and champions so fast. I wanted out of them like within minutes because it just made no sense. But and I don't think that's a good thing.
So Mike trades out all of his uniques. But he ends up with like an Erling Haaland and Vinny Jr. and Rodrigo super rares. Like sure. I appreciate that this is bad for the unique division, but I don't see how this is not a plus for the super rare division that that money is going into super rares.
The money didn't go into it. He just traded into it and he didn't spend a dime. So like he might've bought those cards anyways because he wanted those cards and wanted to enhance the super rare division.
But so like he's somebody now that, I mean, it's the same thing. The demand for cards is moving from unique to super rare. Like fundamentally, that is increasing the demand for super rares.
It's increasing the demand for super rares, but decreasing the demands for unique, meaning they're just going to give out money in the unique division to like the same few people over and over again. And just nobody's really incentivized to, they have like made progression as like minimal as possible.
They have basically decided that the progression from super rare to unique, like that unique is a completely different platform. And obviously they haven't figured that out, but increase in super rare demand cannot possibly be bad.
Yeah, but like there's, okay, another, I mean, you're going to be like, this just increased the rare demand, but there already is plenty of rare, there's not much rare demand anyways.
No, because it's just what you were saying, that the people who are playing in the unique division, the stakes at rare are not big enough. So now the stakes are at the super rare level and that's where they're going.
Yeah, but next part of this discussion. So what if I have someone that comes up to me and it's like, I want to trade out of all my super rares to move into the rare division?
You'd buy them.
No, I wouldn't, but I'm saying like that. So all of a sudden, if I have somebody that is like, hey, I don't want any of these Fire Nord supers anymore, I want to move into the rare division.
You don't think those are sellable cards at all?
What?
You don't think those are sellable cards?
I mean, I literally know someone in this chat that came to me and asked me if I wanted their Fire Nord cards, and then they traded them for rares this week.
But that's not, like, do you not think that there is going to continue to be a market for Fire Nord super rares?
I mean, the market's already pretty low.
So do you think that there's going to be a market for Fire Nord? Like, those are not bad cards.
For
years, we keep talking about how, like, the unique division is just different. It's a different game. And now that like the presumed progression to unique is gone, everyone's like, what the fuck? And it's like, it wasn't there anyway.
There's no progression out of the super rare level either. People are literally leaving super rare to go play rare.
I mean, you know, one, but we also know somebody that went from unique to super rare. Like that's what benefits more people, getting out of unique to play super rare.
Yeah. Okay. So literally we just turned a progression game and everyone just go lower because you can't play at a higher level now. So like,
but like just, Mike is not going from unique to limited. Like Mike, he bought
unique super,
super went, rares in order to get out of.
I'm unique. Sure some people went from rare to limited as well, Laird. Like it's not just the same thing. So like literally everybody has been incentivized to move down.
So like Chani is saying here, he's the one who sold his Fire Nord super rares for champion super rares.
I thought
like, that's his plan. That's his move.
Well, we were discussing rares too. So he was discussing rares too. Oh, he did get some supers in there. Yeah. So
like, I think we, this is now making us, or at least So Rare is making the concerted acknowledgement that the unique division is different and we're going to treat it differently. And if you want to get out and play super rare, great.
Yeah, but so like you're saying like them being like, all right, we're going to treat it differently. We're just going to treat it like shit so nobody wants to play it. You think that's a good
I just don't think that they know what to do yet, to be honest.
Well, okay,
I don't think
that's
they're willing
fair.
To kill it.
Don't you think that's bad though?
I mean, I think it's good that they're recognizing that it just doesn't work with the rest of the platform.
No, and we all know what the answer is. The answer is you give money there instead of cards because you don't have the cards. Their issue is that they don't have the cards to give. That is the issue at the unique level.
Yes.
And they, I don't understand if they don't know that or know that. And they just are like, we don't want to give more money. But like at the highest level, you need to be giving more money to people because that's what will incentivize them to play if you can't get the cards.
Like that's really what it is though, right? Like if there is a division where they're like, it's just cash, it's the unique division.
Yeah. And so like, so Chani said, he's like, the issue that Sean's addressing is correct. They should be pushing people to progress scarcities rather than moving down. It's not a good sign. Like I've had a lot of people that have came to me also and have said, hey, I'm selling all my super rares because I don't want to play there anymore. Do you have interest in trading me for rares? I've had the same, this has been my last like 3 weeks is I just constantly have people come to me asking if they can move down and trade me to move down. And I'm not a trader. But like, I've literally probably have like 10 to 15 of each group asking me those questions. And I don't think it's a good thing that people are just like, hey, I want to trade these cards to move downwards. That to me is not a positive.
So I think we're looking at people who play, let's call it rares and super rares now, and look at the super rare division, specifically the rewards, and they say, I don't have the super rares to compete for rewards in the super rare division. So I would like to sell my super rares so that I can be stronger in the rare division, right?
Yes.
Like, do you think that's the impetus to these, like, do you want all my super rares?
I think that's what people are doing, and I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think incentivizing people to move downwards is a good thing, is my opinion.
So I don't think there's this conscious like effort to tell people to play down, but I think there is a conscious effort to say you should compete as strongly as you can where you can compete. And people are recognizing that it's for those who had like a couple super rares that they played in Rare Plus, and they're like, you can think that the rewards at the super rare level are better and not be able to afford to get there. And it's okay to then like go back to rare. Like this idea that like, oh, you should just keep going, plunk another 15, 20 grand in and you'll be fine. Like that's not a realistic plan for most people. So being able to get out of super rare to make better rare lineups and maybe come back to super rare later. Like, I don't understand why that's that bad.
People aren't trying to come back to super rare later. They just aren't interested.
Well, we don't know. We haven't even started yet.
We haven't, but a lot of people are like, well, I'm not interested in going back there. And I think part of it too is this thing is Chani said, a lot of people look at the unique divisions and think I can't compete for a top three against Pranksy. And so it's time to move down. Literally, it's true. Like, if you can't like finish in the top two or three, like you just get shit. You don't get anything. Like, you get nothing. Whereas like at the super level, if you get like 10th, all of a sudden you get a card, you maybe get some ETH in season, you get a loot box, maybe you can turn that into something. Like, you at least have the ability to possibly get something. The unique level, they just aren't really having you do much to get anything. So anyways, and then so Surface said downwards is fine if it means spending more. People aren't spending more, though. They are moving downwards and just giving up the value of what they were above for the money down low. And they're just not spending the money there because they just moved downwards and shifted it.
I don't think we know at all what they're doing.
But we don't. I mean, that's true. We are in week like minus two of this transition.
Toby's saying a lot of people who moved down were those who focused on 240, which I think is there's plenty of truth in that, but
yeah, I mean, there is truth in that. I'm just
I just think it's I'm not willing to accept like a connection between people selling out of uniques and that being bad for super rares and rares. Like I really struggle to see how it doesn't like more people wanting those cards is bad.
Well, yeah,
I appreciate that the unique division is broken. Like, I think it is fundamentally broken.
Yes.
And that the carrot to get people to go play there does not exist. Correct. That's a problem. Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
So Quinny brings up another discussion, and this goes to their the lack of understanding on things. I don't think it's as much moving down as it's so many people play cross scarcity lineups with super, especially uniques, and now they can't play that. Basically, what you and I have discussed.
They can.
Basically, they removed the progression in the cross scarcities because they didn't think it worked, when in reality it had nothing to do with whether it worked or not. It had to do with how broken the prize pools were in the super rare division.
Sorry, say it again. I thought you were going somewhere else. And then
The reason people didn't progress from the rare pro division to the super division was because the super rare division prize pools were dog shit. Like they're dog shit. But they attribute it to people aren't progressing when they should be progressing upwards. The reason people were not progressing upwards is because the rewards pool at the super level was so bad that there was no incentive to move up. It had nothing to do with like this mixed scarcities and ability to use scarcities in different divisions. In my opinion, there should have been a limited pro, a rare pro, and a super rare pro.
The unique division is basically super rare
pro. Unique division, yeah, but then you could have had a full unique division, right? I would have been fine with that. Like, if you turn the unique pro into like you have two uniques and three super rares, and then the unique division is like five uniques, like that would have been fine to me. That would have made sense. But the fact that they just are like, there's no progression because people aren't moving from rare pro to super rare, which is not accurate. Like, it wasn't that people weren't moving up because they couldn't or didn't want to. It's because you literally were like, don't move up, it's shit. And that was the issue.
Is your level of, I was going to say disappointment, but I don't know what the word is, but we'll go with that. Was your level of disappointment with the super rare division rewards comparable to the ones in unique?
So unique used to be a little bit better, in my opinion. Like, I think, like, right now, like, unique, you get, like, gas one is pretty good. Like, if you can play in gas one, like, there's pretty good rewards there. There's a good amount of ETH. You can win a good card. You can win a unique possibly there as well. Even some of the regions were okay. They gave, like, in U23, they gave away, like, six cards. So, like, you can win, like, six cards. The issue is that, like, the lower amount of cards that you can win, or lower amount of rewards that you can realistically win, puts a bit of a dampen on things, because like, especially at the unique level, like, it's really difficult to fully be on the level of like guys that are running the best cards, because like there's just one of them. Like, so it's difficult. So like, I'm not even saying I'm disappointed necessarily in unique or super rare per se. I'm just saying, like, someone has mentioned before, like, the funds should be, like, evenly distributed between, like, limited, rare, super, or unique. Like, they should be evenly distributed. Because the idea is that, like, at the unique level, it should be easier to win, but it costs you more to get there. So, like, you're spending more for an easier chance to return funds. But, like, right now, I think they're giving out, like, a lot more of the money to the rare and limited levels, which just isn't, that doesn't really incentivize progression, because you look at it and you're like, well, why am I trying to progress when a majority of the money is at the lower levels, not the higher levels?
So the reason I was asking about your super rare and unique reward opinions is basically when we were talking about people who like owned uniques and all of the people who bought a unique, and like Quinny is here, he was one of them, who bought uniques to play in the super rare division.
Yeah.
There were many, many more people who did that with no intention of ever playing the unique division. Like going from one to three to maybe five uniques, and that's just to get a lineup out, is a gigantic jump.
Correct.
And I think we just like we confuse the number of people who own uniques with the number of people who can legitimately play, and not small compete, tiny compete in the unique division. And if those are the people who are selling uniques to go into super rare, the market doesn't change that much other than people buying uniques now, or excuse me, buying super rares.
But people that were playing in the unique division are trying to get out of the unique division, like outright playing the unique division.
How many of those were threshold unique players?
Some, but not all. Like I don't honestly, at the unique level, I'm not even sure I would classify like threshold unique people. Like,
I mean,
like,
they definitely, Bob Flynn's one of them.
Yeah, but Bob.
Skosmo? Like, we know some.
Skosmo wasn't a threshold unique person. Skosmo had some good uniques. Skosmo just is Skosmo. So, like, Bob Flynn is one. Bob Flynn's uniques are absolute dog shit. Mike, just Mike it, is not one of those people. Like, he had some good uniques, and he's just like, I'm out. Like, I'm just out.
But
like,
that happened before this, of, like, you go into the unique division, you get blasted by Pranksy, Bambi, and YNWA, and you're just like, yeah, all right, I don't want to do this.
But it's not even that way. Like, I mean, I'm as competitive as anyone in the unique division, in the all-star division. So like, I'm not a whale like them. I like, and you don't even need to be like at my level to like have it. Like, I'm one of these with like dog shit like MLS cards that are like not even good. Anyway, back to your discussion. There was 100 lineups in All-Star Unique this weekend.
It has to be like, the biggest competition.
What?
That has to be the biggest one.
It is, but like, well, let me check. It might be 240. No, but I'm saying like, this is how many like uniques there are. Like a lot of people are playing other stuff. Yeah, the Cap 240 was the biggest one. But Cap 240 had 183 lineups. So like, I would say there's probably a couple hundred people that play uniques currently.
There's no. There's no way.
150.
You can't add those. There are people who have either multiple or one. Like there's not.
Okay, so fine. No, that's not true, because like some people play like Asia and then they'll play like Cap 240. Some people will just play Asia. Some people will just play America, etc. Like even like I sometimes only have one lineup and I can play it, and I play it in like gas instead of Cap 240.
Yeah, I just I don't know. Yeah. But nobody was playing. I think the unique threshold was like people who only focus on it. I do think many more people who own uniques were focusing on that lately than trying to compete. Like that's why people were buying uniques.
Sure, but like, yeah, so like you've literally told all those people to just go F off, move down, no point.
Yeah, and pump up super rare prices. I think the problem is that the market and use for tier three and below uniques is gone. Like there's
that's a whole other discussion, because that's the same at rare and limited levels, more so even.
You just told me tier three super rares were plenty good enough to win.
I think tier three super rares are okay. Rare and limited levels are not. Tier three uniques are okay. In season wise, they're fine. I almost bought a Corey Baird unique the other day just so I had an in season card.
What stopped you?
because he's so shit, and I just like, he's probably a tier four card, tier three card. He's just awful.
Just Mike, it said, when I had uniques, I only checked unique auctions. Now I've shifted my attention to super rare auctions. I think super rare prices will see a rise sooner than later. I mean, I think more people are looking at super rares because, like, the people who...
I don't. I think more people are looking at rares.
No, sorry. I meant more people are looking at super rares today than they were last week. Like, but I was saying that, but Mike's... Not that Mike is an exception, but there, I can't imagine there were that many people who are playing the unique level and not also playing super rare.
Correct. Most everyone that's playing the unique level was playing the super level. So like all the people that are moving down to super low from unique level were already playing it anyways.
Yeah. Now they're just playing better. Like the top end ones should get higher, right?
Sure.
Values wise.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, there's a natural progression issue. Like it's like, right. All right. So DFS, right. They will have a Millie Maker on a weekend. They'll have like three of them. Sometimes they'll have three of them. They will have a $5,000 Millie Maker that has like 300 people. And all of a sudden, like you have a realistic shot at winning because there's only 300 people. Then they have a $100 Millie Maker with like 2,000 people. Okay. You have a way less realistic chance, but maybe still a chance. Then they'll have a $20 Millie Maker with like 20,000 people, and you have like very little chance of hitting it. But the prize pool is the same because you're still generating that sort of money to that level. And the issue is that like currently they're just giving a lot to the rare and limited level, which is okay to some extent. But I mean,
this is basically back to what Nashi said a few weeks ago on our show, that the prize pool should be the same for every scarcity.
Correct.
And
And you should have more of a chance to win at the unique level if you get to the unique level, but like it's hard to get to the unique level and it's expensive. But like if you're playing at the limited level, you still have a great shot to get something, but maybe it's just not as much. But again, you're playing limited level versus unique level. Another thing that I will touch on that I think that you alluded to, I forget exactly what I was going to say. I forget what I was going to say. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's something I was going to say.
We're not there yet.
Right. I forget it.
Only 100 shows together.
Yeah, you're not. Oh, what was I going to say? I can't remember.
Where did you stand on the classic contender super rare versus in-season contender rare?
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. So, but I'll give this answer. I think super rare classic is going to be better than in-season rare.
So Division One in-season contenders right here. Division One, the top prize is $1,000. Classic contender super rare, top prize is $950 and a star super rare.
Yeah.
That seems better. And some loot boxes.
Yeah.
Reward boxes, excuse me.
Like, yes. Vitaly said, do you already try to build lineups for game week 463? I tried to the other day, but someone didn't have them up at that time, so I didn't have the ability. And today is very busy for me, so I just...
I'm pretty sure if you wanted to build them last week, you could have built them last week.
No, I mean, they weren't up. They weren't up on the lineup builder.
Right.
They weren't. All right, so what I was going to say is, you and I have talked about this. I think one massive issue currently that needs to be fixed at some point, I don't know how they're going to do it. They need to give value to the lower level cards, some value to them. They have to have some value. You can't have them as just total dog shit, useless turds.
Totally agree.
What that is, I'm not sure. So I'm not going to like...
Special weekly, Sean, come on.
And it could, right? It could. The special weeklies could do that. The issue is like, you really need to give out... I mean, I still think I gave these ratios before, and I still agree with these ratios that like 20%, your top 20% of cards should get 80% of the value, as in like winning the 80% of rewards, the like 80% of the good shit, et cetera. The other 80% of the cards should get 20% of the value. So like there's still value with them, obviously a significant less amount. So you're still incentivizing the best cards, and those are the cards that are high end, and then you are still giving some value to tier threes, tier fours, some tier fives even. So like they need, I don't think this platform works if lower level cards have no value. Do you agree with that?
Yeah,
what happens then is if you give tier threes, tier five, fours, tier fives absolutely zero value, which as of today they have zero value after like the transition phase. Even during the transition phase, their value is incredibly limited. But if you give,
The cat modes are still there, so I think they still have some value.
Yeah, a little bit of value. Well, yes.
And I mean, it's the same as yesterday. As long as the cat modes exist.
Have you done, Vitaly, have you done the numbers on like what they're giving out? I think I saw them the 1 week where they're giving out like 1/3 of the money that they were giving out in thresholds. But like, to me, I think giving out like 80% of the money you're giving in threshold, moving it over to like actually doing well in competitions, perfect. Save that 20%, give that 20% towards thresholds or something. But like incentivizing people to like still want those cards, like I should at least, if I have like a lower level, all right, so Vitaly did it 1 week and then didn't do it after. Like, so the numbers I saw sort of the week that he showed me was like 1/3. They're giving out 1/3 of the money they were previously giving out. And
in threshold.
In thresholds. They're giving out 1/3 of the money in thresholds they were previously giving out in thresholds. So like, to me, if I win a tier, let me go look at some cards that I've won recently, because I'm sure there's been some like tier four cards. So I'm not going to even use like high. So I won Gabriel Corbo for Montreal. I don't know a thing about him. But like that card, he's like a 45 average card. He's young defender for Montreal, whatever. It doesn't matter. Same thing as like someone else. Like this guy isn't anything special. This guy, I should be able to get some money for. And yes, obviously I can go get a little bit for him right now. But like the issue is if you have these guys, like if this guy's worth like $1 on a rare level, that's bad. You want this guy to be worth like 10, 20 bucks, which like right now he is. So like, that's fine. But like this guy needs to have some value, because otherwise if this guy doesn't have value, 80% of the cards that you win are worthless because they are this guy. So like this guy needs to carry some value. So people have incentive to be like, oh, I'm going to go buy Gabriel Corbo because I need a L15 of 40 player. So I need to go buy Gabriel Corbo or his brother that has a 40 as well.
Nanzo's won 2 Corbos recently.
But so that's my thing. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I think threshold makes sense for that. Like instead of giving out 25 or what did they give out? What was the threshold? $50?
Depends where.
Well, they got rid of the old. Like rare was 50, super rare was 200, unique was 500, and limited was 2?
5.
Five, like turn limited into like, and the issue is like the unique and super level are already fucked anyways, but like turn that into like 220, 100, 250, whatever.
I think those days are over, Sean.
Yeah, no, I know they are, but I think the key is they have to figure out a new thing to give those cards back. That's more of my point.
Yeah, I think we'll have special weeklies every week with low caps that will make them. And they'll unfortunately think that whatever reward boxes with boosts and coins people will want and quickly realize we don't want those.
Correct. Well, yeah, but here's the issue with that is like, how are they going to incentivize you to get these guys if like they're constantly changing the weekly special, and like some weekly special, you don't need guys like this. Cause then you're going to look at and be like, I'm not going to buy this guy for one game week. I'm going to buy this guy if I can use him more frequently.
Yeah. No, I thought they said they would do a month out. Right. Did I make that up?
I have no idea. And also like, so Jonathan just said, he said dog shit like, cards don't have midweeks. A lot of value from like worse cards was definitely gained in the midweek. So like, we will have to see what sort of value midweeks come with as well.
XMK, they said special weeklies will also be on the weekends.
Yeah, so like they're gonna have special weeklies midweeks and weekends, and we just don't know what they're gonna be.
I think there's just it's a very tricky line where they need to make bad cards worth more than zero,
correct,
but not worth a lot,
correct. And yeah, so, like yeah. Gabriel Corbo, like, so I'm gonna look at Gabriel Corbo. At some point Gabriel Corbo was going for, let's see, $90, $100. Gabriel Corbo.
Basically, yeah, you couldn't, if you sold a Mickey Yamane rare old season, you could not buy a Corbo new season.
Yeah. But like, here's the thing, right? Gabriel Corbeau does not need to be $100. You don't need Gabriel Corbeau to be worth $100 for him to have value. The last sale of Gabriel Corbeau in auction was $24. Perfect. If I win a tier four and it's worth $24, all right, great. $24, cool. That's fine. That incentivizes people to want to win that type of card, because then if you're playing a lower level, when it's your, like, let's say you have a gallery and your rare is like you spend like $500 and all of a sudden you win a rare you can sell for $20. Awesome. That's great. So they just, you don't need this guy to be worth $100 to $150. You need this guy to be worth $20, which he is currently, but like, I don't think he will be soon. Like once they get rid of threshold, like, why would this guy be worth $20? He should be worth literally zero, right?
I think Malky made this comment. Corbin might help you win something in a lower division. I think that's what they are trying to tell people. Like, division four in rare, that's where that card should be played. I just don't know if it'll play out that way.
That's just not how it's going to play out. We know it's not how it's going to play out. Nanto won Corpo as a tier two. To be fair, I might have too. I'm not
sure. Is that a super rare?
No, he said rare. I won as rare. I don't know what I won him as. I don't know what tier he was. So I won the 10 of 10. Let's see what I won him as.
10 of 10? How about that?
Yeah, I won him
as it was an old season.
I won him as either a tier 2 or tier 3.
You won him as an old season card?
No. No, I won new season.
The 10 of 10? 10 of 100?
Yeah, they probably gave out like 8 in 1 week because Jonathan Beast.
Nanto got him as a tier 2 in U23 Rare Plus. I would.
That's where I won him?
No, Nanto.
I probably finished like right behind Nanto. They gave out two. They gave out 41st and 42nd both. Actually, literally Nanto and I probably finished like back to back, and we each got Corbeau. That's pretty funny. So here, this guy's a tier two. This guy's a tier two, and he's $25. What the hell is a tier three and four worth? Like zero? Because that's not good.
They seem to be adamant about like the special weeklies will address this. And like,
might. I definitely have my doubts, but they might.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I don't think it's worth having an opinion on it at this point because we just don't. Right.
Yeah. We need like all of a sudden you pop out. Like I might run Corbeau this weekend, Laird, in MLS weeklies.
Hell yeah, you will.
He's like one of my only rares in the MLS that I've won right now that I haven't sold because I won Crepeau, but I sold him.
Yeah. No, I think, it'll always be. I think what's going to happen is we're going to see like what the first special weeklies are, and someone like Corbeau is really, really good for it.
Yeah.
And we're just like, you overdid it. You got to pull that one back a little bit.
If they do specialists, which they could, they've done it. They've gone to it. If they do specialists, Corbeau's a 40.
46. You bang this weekend.
Oh, no, he didn't. I had 14.
No, he had 14. Yeah. I don't know. His new L15 looks like it's 46.
Yeah. His one the following week will be 40. On server data, his L15 is 40. But yeah. So like all of a sudden, like.
Oh, yeah. Right. My fault. Yep.
Yeah. Like, so I get Corbeau at 40. All of a sudden, agreed. Like, this guy doesn't need to be $100. He needs to be like 30. But if all your tier fours, and if this guy's a tier two, then maybe he does need to be worth $100.
Yeah.
But this guy also shouldn't be a tier two, so that's a whole other thing. So funny Gator guy thing, by the way. This dude is obsessed with Colorado Rapids. Can you explain that one to me?
He's trying to emulate your Chicago Fire stuff.
No, don't give me that shit. Chicago Fire at least had good scores. He's just buying these.
Yeah, they had one and a half good scores. One was just super elite though.
Yeah, Colorado sucks.
I am not here to defend any Colorado Rapids.
He's like, he's sitting there. He's like, he's sitting there arguing with me yesterday. He's like, yeah, just going to like buy Georgia Mihailovic. I'm like, great. That's fucking fantastic. Like, you can buy like a good card. He's like, no, I need to get a great deal. That was an argument we had this weekend. I'm like, a great deal doesn't exist anymore on cards that are shit. Because like, you just aren't winning rewards with shit cards in theory anymore. Because those competitions like don't exist.
Someone who is trying to sell a Cole Bassett super rare, I think they are a phenomenal team and that he is the future and present and that everybody should go buy that
card. Are you trying to sell a new season Cole Bassett or an old? Yes, that's Gator guy. Gator guy's like, I'm not going to buy any old seasons. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, Dude,
you only need three new seasons. Come on.
If you sit there, if someone sits there and tells me like Carlos Gil new season is like $4,000 and I can buy his old season for like $2,000 for a super rare, all right. I'll buy the old season. I'll just buy other new season cards that are not that.
Yeah. Super rare is too easy.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Super rare, I think super rare is good. I think limited's good. Rare and unique. Unique, I think, is definitely bad. Rare, I'm like unsure of. Four seems maybe a bit much, but it might be okay.
We'll see when we play. We'll see. I think we've argued enough today. I think that was good. I'll just hold on. I'll leave this here. Cole Bassett he's better than decent. Come on. Maybe some sets soon. You might take him now. I don't even know. Anyway. Feel free to go buy that card. All right. Thank you to everybody for joining. I don't know if we actually addressed the whole, do you want to play in division three or one, but I feel like, oh, I guess we said that at the beginning. We want to go to division one. That's it. Just let us play there. So yeah, thanks everyone for joining. If you could please like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Shout out to Quinny. And yeah, there you go. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Yeah, if anybody has any follow-up questions or topics you want Sean and I to touch on, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Andrew M. Laird. Sean's at PSU Fans too. Go follow him there as well. And yeah, thank you everybody for coming, and I'll see you tomorrow.